Good morning. I'm Vic and I co-lead the Agora House Church with Sin Miao. I apologize for not being able to be there in person, but I will be sharing the reading and the devotion today, and I hope that it will be a blessing for you. So let me start with a word of prayer. Dear Father God, we just want to thank you for today, and we just want to pray for your presence to fill the room, Lord, right now, and just praying for your Holy Spirit really to open up our hearts and also open our and open our ears as well. And I just pray that you will use me, Lord Father God, to tell your truth, Lord Father God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today's reading comes from Mark 9 and 29. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this risen from the dead might mean. And they asked him, "Why do the scribes say the first Elijah must come?" And he said to them, "Elijah does come first to restore all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written of him." And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. "How long has this?" And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and to water to destroy him. But if he can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Amen. Now, So if you were just listening, obviously this passage has two main parts. One is the transfiguration of Jesus in front of Peter, James, and John. And then number two is Jesus heals a boy possessed by a deaf and mute spirit and told his disciple the secret, right, of prayer. As we look into each part a little bit deeper, there are in fact some profound lessons that perhaps we can learn and reflect upon. I mean, with the first part of the transfiguration, I think my first question when I was reading and meditating on it was that, why the three of them, right? It was Peter, James, and John. And actually, upon researching, it seemed that the three disciples were the ones that spent the most time with Jesus. And from that, I believe God is pointing out, although his desire is to show us his full glory, but he does disclose more freely to those who earnestly seek him in a relationship. Just like in James chapter 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Are we at that place like Peter, James, and John at this moment? Right? Then it was interesting also that the place that Jesus brought them to, a mountain. That mountain setting actually reminds me of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, right? And I think this mountain perhaps serve as a secret place, a space where God reveal his glory to those who earnestly seek him, right? It is a place also, if you think about it, a mountain, it separates ourselves from other people. So I believe it is also maybe a God's reminder that it is important to go to the secret place so we can see full glory of God, right? And talking about the full glory of God, the transfiguration surely unveils the full glory of Jesus. A moment that can leave us in awe, right? Just as the disciple was experiencing a moment of divine revelation, I believe we too can have that transformative encounter with God that will help ignite our spirit. However, in the story, based on Paul's response of building the three tents, I assume it's similar to an altar based on the experience. For me, actually, it sounded like a good reminder of that we must be cautious to not cling on just to the experience itself, rather than the person behind it, right? And then what interesting for me, if you were reading through, God himself actually came out and say, hey, that's my beloved son, listen to him. For me, that actually sound like God is actually telling us, hey, don't cling on to the feeling or the experience that you had with me, right? But instead, from that experience, learn to listen and obey. And I believe through that, perhaps we can have such transfiguration occur within us as well as we continue to obey him and allow God's glory to shine through our lives. And, you know, moving on to the second part, obviously, it's where Jesus heals a boy possessed by the deaf and mute spirit. In this part, what really stood out to for me when I was meditating on the verse was how come like the disciples could not cast out the spirits? Like, how come did they not pray? Because Jesus gave them the revelation, hey, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Well, it makes me think maybe they didn't pray because they were distracted by the crowd. Maybe they doubted their own abilities, or maybe they were discouraged by their initial failure. Well, or maybe even simply just their pride. Like, I have done this before, so I can do it again without prayer, you know? And I think that reminds me of me sometimes where, when I don't lift up my needs and my circumstances up to the Lord, thinking, well, I've done this before, right? Because, you know, it happened before and I can do it without, you know, praying. And sometimes when I do that, it's also while I'm forgetting that the last time God was with me and that I did lift my prayers up to him, right? So it amazed me that, you know, in this passage that the disciples, you know, at the time were living next to Jesus, receiving his teaching and experiencing the miracle and his glory, and they were not enough. And prayer is still essential to have access to the power of God. You know, and I know for now, yes, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us now, but without prayer, it is like putting the finest petrol in the car and then don't turn on the ignition and just let it sit. You know, I think some things and sometimes in our lives, you know, things just won't change unless we really humble ourselves, kneel, and earnestly seek God's intervention. So here are my devotion. I will close us in prayer now, and we'll invite our worship leader to come and lead us into a time of prayer and reflection. From today, I would like to ask you to reflect on the following. Would you have been one of the three disciples chosen for earnestly seeking God to see God's glory today? Have you gone to the mountain of yours and consistently seek God's glory? And were there things in your life at the moment that you have not lift up in prayer to God, whether it stems from distractions, doubts, and discouragement from previous time, or even your pride? I pray, really, the Holy Spirit will guide you through this time and reveal things to you during this time. Let us pray. Dear Father God, thank you for your word at this time, and I pray that you will really help us find our own mountain with you right now, where we can come to see the full glory of you. We pray each and every one of us here to continue to lift up our prayers from all areas of our lives to you, as we know that you loves us and you hear us. Praying that as we come closer to Easter, we'll continue to seek you and reflect on what you have done for us. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.